pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary.
Sing it unto him now.
Oh Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Will you? I'll be your living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Just want to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like, turn in your scriptures. Turn to 2 Peter, where we've been reading from, and then turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 2 Peter, 1 Corinthians 3. Now remember, the Lord willing, there will be Bible study this coming Saturday. So, you know, just come and be with us. We have a good time in the Lord, fellowshipping, and all. And just remember all the other announcements. And two, now, I've thought this over a lot, and we were talking about doing building on and got into the makings, and we've got everything pretty well okay for us to do. But while I was in Jamaica, I began to pray and linger about it, and I talked to Brother Reed there, and this, you know, I hadn't mentioned it to anybody else, I said, you know, I'm kind of feeling like that we need to wait about building on until this economy works its way out in the kind of the, you know, the oil deals and everything, because, I mean, if this thing keeps tightening up, we're going to have to be helping people, you know, to get the church maybe in back. Because we don't know, people losing jobs and doing everything. So I talked with Brother Gary back there about it, and so let's just put it off for a little while until we see how the economy is going. Because we've got plenty of room, we've got everything okay, we don't have to worry and all like that, and we'll just wait, because we don't want to tie up all of our money when it comes down to the bases that we need to be where we can get to church. And that way we could help people come to church and do things, but it's where it's going now, there's no telling what it's going to be real quick. So we'll know before long, and we'll just, you know, if that's all right with everybody, we'll just put it off for a little while until we get everything going, and then we'll go back with original plans and all like that. I'm not concerned about the economy, because we've always looked and seen that something would come, but I never thought it would come this way, you know, on oil and things. But it's like I told Brother Reed, I said, well, you know, the Holy Ghost is a type. Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. And I said, we know there's plenty of the Holy Ghost. We know there's plenty of oil, you know. I mean, but it's getting a whole lot more expensive. So maybe it's meaning that the Holy Ghost is getting a whole lot more scarce as far as people receiving it. And that's what I say it probably is, because, you know, you see very few people seeking the Holy Ghost anymore and all. And I'm proud and concerned with a lot of people, even like their Sunday, where just one after the other come for rededication. That was, you know, I really, really, you know, glad to see that. And I really enjoyed Brother Cesar being with us, and Sister Tanisha for doing the interpreting and all. And I thought it worked out real good. So, amen. Let's just, you know, keep in that line. So, okay. Father, we thank you. We love you. We cherish your understanding, because Lord, we need you. And we pray that you would just come on the scene in each one of our hearts and lives. And Lord, let your light shine in our hearts. And let your love be made manifest to each one. Forgive our sins. We know that we're in a horrible time. It's getting where the price of the gas, the things of the world, the building industry, everything is going haywire, Lord, let alone all of the drastic things that are happening around the world, of the death tolls and a lot of these earthquakes and things, Father. We know it's the end. And we're not happy that it's coming upon the earth, because we're human mortals. And you here in your life, as you was living here with us, you would not have been happy to see death on every hand. But yet, knowing that this is the way it will be, so then we're happy to know the end time is here, and believe that the end of all things has come upon mankind. But yet it makes us in our hearts rejoice, because we know the hour of the approaching of the climax of thy coming is here upon us. And we believe you, and we thank you. We ask you now that you would just, as we read your word, you come and you honor your word, and Lord, with signs and wonders to take place, because we believe it, and we thank you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We read first in 2 Peter 2. Simon Peter, the servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now look where we're called to. Glory and virtue. We're not called to a bad look, you know, feeling bad and life's bad and the horrible things are coming. We're called to glory and virtue. See, you know, it was right in the time of everything that's going wrong. All right? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, now notice, in you and abound, that means heap up, right? They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now that's a question. So that's not a statement, that's a question. It sounds like a statement, but see, it's saying, know ye not that ye are the temple. In other words, don't you know you are the temple of God?
Right.
All right. Now, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing. So you see, that'll be the title of the message. This is number 8 on the stature of a perfect man, but we'll just talk about the temple of God. And some of the brothers hit me. I ask you to bring back the ones that you were using. Now keep these, because it will keep us from having to run off more Sunday. I know we won't get all the way through, but if you'll do like I've done, take them and finally staple them together, then you'll have the stature of a perfect man book almost complete. All right? Because that's basically what I've done. All right, so just, do that. Now, we've been talking about the stature of a perfect man, and now when I finish this a little bit, maybe start on it Sunday, if we can, according to how far we get tonight, but we want to go on, because I've got a little bit on asking about the adoption, manifestation of sons of God. It all fits right in here together with what we're talking about, because this is the way to come to the position to where you can be adopted. So, you know, so just bear with us. But now, I want to make this statement and keep making it. It's a very easy thing to do one of two things. Either put something so far away until you cannot attain unto it. All right. Now, we think that would be a horrible thing, and it is. All right. And the prophet said that was the problem of mankind, that he was always looking back or looking forward and not seeing what's taking place. All right. Now, so in looking and saying that, you know, these things are beyond our reach, well, why would the prophet preach the message? I mean, what would be the purpose of bringing the message? If these things, the seals, etc., that people say, oh, we don't have to understand those things. Well, why did the prophet preach it? Is there anything in the Bible that was not necessary? You know, if it was, why? You know, why did God put it in the Bible if it wasn't necessary or for somebody to fulfill? All right. So we don't want to get to the position of making it to where that it's a situation that no one can attain unto, and trying to degree each other some way of trying to not maybe de-Christianize each other, but just say, we don't see this, we don't see that.
Right.
All right. Now, it may be because of the eyes we're looking through, and because of the life that we've been around, or whatever's being up and down this thing. But also the other side is to make something so simple that you just automatically have it. Now, Brother Brown said these virtues would be automatically added. He didn't say they was automatically in there. He said they'd be automatically added. And that's a growth development of the Word of God. All right, now we've been through that. That, see, how can you climb up the stature of a perfect man? If faith is the new birth, and we believe it is, and it takes a revelation to be born again, all right, see, then what would be the rest of the pyramid? God revealing himself to us through the opening of the Word, and I've made this over and over to you, is the reason I believe it. That's why he said, I must decrease that he might increase, because he got to the position that, you know, the Word, fully revealed Word, has been laid within our possession. I didn't say it's been made known to us. I said it's in our possession of the fully revealed Word of God. I believe that now. All right? But yet still, you can make things so simple that you can say, well, I've got it when I believe. You know. Well, I've always tried to illustrate it, you know, or something. You know. Brother Dick's been, and Sister Gail's been up and rode through Alaska, you know, on that dirt road. And see, I've never been there. And he could show me videos. He could show me positions and places and take maps and X out everything, you know. But that still doesn't make me there. I haven't had the experience of witnessing that. And that's what I'm saying that the new birth is. It's a personal revelation to you.
Right.
All right. Not to everybody, but to you only. All right. Then the stature of a perfect man is a growth development of the Word. Just like any child has to eat to be able to grow.
Right.
Well, a spiritual child must eat the Word.
Right.
You may wonder and say, well, Brother Dale, why do you keep saying that? Well, see, Brother Moe preached that in 1971, and I asked him that question. And he couldn't give me an outright answer as to how to bring the things into being. I mean, honestly, he said he... And it was not about 1980-something when the Lord revealed to me that it was by the opening of the Word.
Amen.
Would bring those things.
That's right.
I could see then why Brother Branham preached the message all the way to the future home.
That's right.
It was given to our in our possession.
Right.
Then the messenger of Malachi 4 would do two things. Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers.
Right.
And it would be these, as Wade was bringing out the other day, on the literal, or literally, word for word, to bring back the Word to you and I, that we can read the Word. And as I said, you can be reading the seals and God speak to you something about virtue. You may be reading Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, Him speak to you something about knowledge. You may be reading some of the simple messages we call, but I don't believe there's any of them simple now. They call them major and minor prophets, you know, in the Bible. Well, I understand what they're trying to do. But I don't think there's ever been a minor prophet. That's man's interpretation of minor and major because of what they do or how much they bring or whatever. But see, then what we need to do is just get into the Word and just keep eating the Word. You may get down, as I said, to some message, Abraham's faith. And God speak to you about something and that may bring the headstone to you. Because that can be what he's revealing to you. But see, it all comes from the message.
Amen.
But it comes by the revealed Word. That's why I holler so much about that. That we've got to have the message revealed to us. But we've got to have it first brought to us.
Right.
Well, we got the prophet. Well, that's like everybody else. They had all the prophets, but when Jesus came, what did they do? They couldn't even see John the Baptist when Isaiah spoke plainly, and he definitely identified himself. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I mean, after all of that, they killed him, then killed the Messiah that he came to introduce. Well, see, don't never get the idea. Now, there's the lower end of the scale. Don't ever get the idea that you say, well, we've got it. The prophet said it, we have it. All right? When it's revealed to us,
right,
is when we have it.
Amen.
You only have what's revealed to you.
Right.
I keep saying that over and over. Not necessarily out on the internet system either.
Right.
But if you're here in Lula, Georgia,
right,
check yourself. As I said about, I'd rather be seeking God all of my life and find out at the end that I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
right,
than to go all of my life and get to the end and find out I didn't have it.
Right.
Well, I'd rather be seeking the virtues. You don't hear Brother Branham anywhere stating where he's at.
Come on.
Now, there's one catch in the stature of a perfect man that he gives you. All right? But you don't hear him saying, I'm at this place. Do you know why? No. I know this ain't going to go too good out on the internet, but I'm sure people here understand me because I talk plain. Do you know that he didn't have the headstone when he preached the stature of a perfect man? Now, it's probably people going to differ about that. But the seals hadn't broke. If we believe his message started in 63 and the opening of the word and the seals and the thing, well, then he didn't have the headstone. But he had the faith of the fathers. All right? See, I can prove that because he said those disciples had these virtues. That's way over at the end of the notes. But said, they waited for the least little nod.
Right.
We'll keep on reading. You'll hear him saying like this. I was down there the other day and something about a child, I believe it was, or something, and praying. He said, I got that little nod. See, what's he doing? He's not saying, I'm where the disciples were. I want you to see. I'm right here. I'm here. I'm here. Here. No, he's giving you examples to see where he was. It's like he said beyond the curtain of time. He said, did Paul preach one God? He said, well, I preach one God. I preach is what Paul did. What's he showing you? God was showing him where he was. And he was not coming back. Look at me. Boy, I got faith for fathers now. Anybody come up here, they're just going to get it. No. He was very, very humble about his position because those virtues do not bring a sarcastic, hateful attitude. I like the way Wade said it the other day there. Yeah, I wonder how many of you would even say what he said. How many of you remember what he said? How many of you remember what he said? Any of you remember where he said, I know I'm not at?
Alright.
He said, I know I'm not there because I don't do these things. Well, you say, well, I don't want no preacher talking to me. They ain't got no. I want somebody talking to me that's honest. A lot of things people are different with me, but I try my best to be honest about it. But I'm stubborn about everything else. I know that. But see, but I've tried to be honest about everything. To not try to tell you I'm here or I'm here or I'm here or I'm here or my. What need is that? But Brother Branham would say, beyond the curtain of time, I preach what Paul preached. He'd say, I waited on a little nod and said, I went then. But see, he couldn't have had the headstone because it hadn't come yet. That's what he said now. But see, we don't want to take that. We've got some idea that he was already an adopted, manifested son when he was first born down there on the Ohio, you know, standing down there on the Ohio River or maybe somewhere. They probably wouldn't say he was that all of his life, but right about the Ohio River there in 33, old Brother Branham was right there. Well, how come he preached things wrong if he was right there? Now, he corrected the wrong that he preached. And nobody else could in no way do that. But yet, he showed that he wasn't at the right place. But God showed he was at the right place when he come to the position. that's the point I want to keep making. Don't make it something we can't attain. But don't make it so simple that we just fall into it. Yeah. I mean, we got it in the message. But is the message in us? This message is to live. The world is wanting to find God. And the only God they can see is the God in you and me, see. Alright? But you see, we make a situation out of it that can't be attained. Or we make it too simple. Why not stay in the middle? And just don't worry about where we're at, except for one thing. Worry about how to get somewhere else. You know what? Pray for how to get somewhere else and what to do. That's the thing that we need to do. See? If you'd asked Brother Branham the day before the wreck or Brother Branham, are you at the place you want to be? He said, no. He said, no. At the end of the statue of a perfect man, what did he say? I gave it to you, but that'll be on Sunday morning or evening. What? He said, Lord, fill me up with these things that I may teach others, apostles, prophets, evangelists, to bring these into the church. And that was his desire. See? Nobody in the Bible ever told you where they was at. You don't hear Paul crowing about who he was. Now, when he was put on the spot, he put it blunt. You'll be judged by my gospel. You listen to Brother Branham. You talking about Paul being straight about you. Listen to Brother Branham sometime. He'd say, if I ain't right, you come on up here and show me. That wouldn't be an arrogant and hateful. That's being straight. All right, now let's move on then. You got the point now. See, and we covered Sunday afternoon that the reason the prophet called these things, that the first one, see, you got faith and then virtue. But he was talking about all of these virtues, just like I gave you the quote at the end. He said, the disciples had these virtues. Well, he's calling all of them virtues. Whether it be virtue or knowledge or temperance or patience or godliness or brotherly kindness or the headstone or whatever, it still would be virtues. Because why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe it's Romans 1:16 or something, 17 right in there, maybe 1:20. See? And the prophet said about virtue, he said, it's not living a virgin life. But then he turned right back around and said, but if you're not living a virgin life, then they have no way, because that's the price for it to go out. And people are looking at you, he said, acting wrong today. They don't have anything to pull from. Like I told you about the Lord Jesus, the little woman there that touched his garment. She had heard. She had heard of the healings. She had heard of the signs and the things that took place. It brought confidence to her. And she said, if I can just touch him. You say, but now what she needed to do? No, she done what she needed to do. Well, see, that's like I've always tried to tell you about when it come to the day of Pentecost, it said, repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter didn't give them a book of rules to make them Christians. He gave them what it would take to make them Christians. Go down to the water, get baptized, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept him as your Savior, and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And see, that would make it to that place. All right. So then we're talking about tonight now. We talked about on that message about a dwelling place thing. But we want to talk tonight about the temple of God. See? And Paul said, whose temple you are. All right. And then he said, if we defile the temple. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Whose temple we are. Alright. Now, we know we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Alright. But get the point. Now, you have a spiritual body. Right. Which is the temple of God. See, God ain't too happy about these outside temples, right? That's why Paul said it like that. That if you destroy the temple of God, you got a problem. Now he done told right back up before there, if you'll read it, where he said it, that, you know, they may have to be judged And he said, but saved as of by fire? You know, in other words, they're born again, might lose all rewards because of what? The way they live. Right? Now, but see, building a temple. Now, the virtues, listen for a second. I've tried to explain these over the years, you know, and everything to you and to myself. The virtues that you're looking at of the stature of a perfect man, sure, they're all what the prophets say, heaven-born knowledge, heaven-born patience, heaven-born virtue, heaven-born, right? All right. And building a temple, building a building inside of you, which is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, that's in the soul, right? All right. Now watch, though. As that is brought within the soul, does not that show outwardly in the body?
Right.
Now, let's don't put the virtues as a, you know, let's don't put your soul as something, and then the virtues in the spirit, and then the flesh display. Let's don't go that route. I don't like that route, because that would put the virtues only in your spirit, and I don't agree with that now. If you do, that's fine. That's your business. But I'm just telling you, let's don't do it that way. Let's do it the way that Paul is explaining it. Because he's explaining a temple, the temple you are. I believe he's talking about in your soul. Because that's where God dwells. All right. But now what's in your soul will one day be displayed in your body. All right. Now, see, then in that, your spirit will work in between. Because now, listen to what I'm saying and listen real careful. I can't see your soul.
Right.
I can't see your spirit like spirit. But I can see what your spirit displays in your flesh.
Right.
Right. Because of the flesh, we can see what the spirit is. But there's where there is so much trouble with, see, of the prophet trying to preach this message. He said it took him 30-something years.
Right.
You know, 30-something years to get where he could preach the stature of a perfect man.
Right.
Back like the faith of the fathers. Why? Because you see, as we'll get to it in a minute, in like temperance. You look at somebody and they got a display of a little temper. Oh, I got rid of the temper. I got rid of the temper when I was born again. Well, that might not be exactly the way it is, according to the prophet. All right. See, then you'll de-Christianize people.
Right.
And you'll de-Christianize your own self. All right, because you'll say, I don't have. If I had, I wouldn't have done. Now, that could be totally true. But yet it could be lack of understanding. But Brother Dale, I've always heard it taught that when you got born again, you didn't have no more temper. You didn't hear the prophet say that. Now, come on, I know the message, so don't run off with me out there and here either. I know the prophet talks about when the Holy Ghost come in that it takes this out and it takes that out and it takes this out and this goes out and that goes out. I know what he's saying. But then when he turned around on the statue of a perfect man, he didn't change his doctrine and say there's something left. He always talks you like door and doors. Not that there was sin left behind doors, but unopened doors. Right? It wasn't a door back there that's got sin in it that you need to sweep it out. No, it's an unopened door. He taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a deliverance. And we shouldn't have any temper. And we shouldn't have an uncontrollable one if we have the new birth. Now, I believe that. But then the prophets say, turn around and say, you got a problem with that temper. said, you need temperance. All right. See, I'm just trying to get a point across that we could be further up than we think. All right. But we could also be further down than we think we are. Now, I'm talking about all of us now. From the pulpit to the back. You say, well, Brother Dale, well, okay, now you go ahead. I just preach like I preach. I don't try to de-Christianize nobody, but there's one thing about it. Life will tell what we have and where we are. And we've been 40 years preaching the prophet's message on these virtues, etc., and things. And see, maybe it's because we're not facing up to our own selves. That's from the pulpit to the back now, all right? Because that's one thing I don't do. You might think that I try to hide. No, I don't. I'm just open. Always been that way. All right. But now listen. See, the virtues, the reason the prophet calls them virtues is because knowledge is a strength to you. Temperance is a strength. It's the revealed word. Patience is a strength. It's the power of God being revealed and bringing us strength to grow. Growth development. Alright? See? Alright? So it brings it to that. Now, we got in there where Brother Branham was talking about it, where he said, now, it's not just living a virgin life. Virtue is not just living a virgin life. But he said, virtue went out of the Lord Jesus when the little woman touched him. Strength. Now, if you've never witnessed that, you don't know what it is. To have something to come upon you that weakens you so much until most of you know I'm getting slower now and a whole lot older, but you know I can still do a day's work. But one time with God touching you and you lose a whole lot more strength than you do of working all day. Because that's what it does. It just does something to the human abilities. All right, but now let's go on. So let's get over to where he was talking about knowledge now. We covered virtue. We got over to, we got through on number 10. Then he starts on. We get into number 11. And we're talking about knowledge. Well, Brother Dale, I know what knowledge is. I mean, it's a guy like Einstein. Well, there's no record he ever got born again. I'm not the one to judge him. I don't have nothing to judge him with. But, I mean, there's no one's ever said Einstein got born again, so he must not have been very smart. And I've always tried to tell you, people say, oh, you're just smart, you're smart. No, you know what a smart man is? Who knows the definition I gave not too long ago about what a smart person is? It's a person who knows where to find the answer. Not a person with all the answers. A person with all the answers has got a problem. But a person that's smart is a person that knows where to find the answer. And that is first to go to God for an answer. But I mean, if I need to know, how to work on a car, I'd go down to Brother Donnie's. He'll take his time and show you. Well, I don't have to learn that. I mean, I don't have to do it. I don't have to take my time and do that. I just go let him do it. Well, see, I just know where the knowledge is at. If I want to know something about building a house and how to cut rafters and that, I can build a house, but I ain't going to fool rafters. I'm one piece at a time cutting rafters. But Brother Gary, he just take them things, the man up on the roof, holler back down to him, to cut me a 12-foot on a skew at 9 inches and leaving out the 32 and put a bird's mouth on it. That's it. Man. If you want that thing cut like that, you come down here and cut it. I couldn't cut it to start with. But you see, but to know where to find the answer. Well, we know where to find the answer. If we need to know anything about the statue of a perfect man, we don't have to read Greer's Almanac. We don't have to go to Clarence Larkin. We don't have to go somewhere. Where we go? Right to the message of the hour. If we need to know about Daniel's 70 weeks, where do we go? If we need to know about the seals, where do we go? We go right to the message of the hour in a prayerful attitude, and God will reveal that to us. All right. See, now knowledge is not worldly knowledge. Now see, Christ the Mystery, now I may miss the quote, but I believe it's in Christ the Mystery, where Brother Brown talked about that the most illiterate child could be born again. Maybe person he used there or something, but he says most illiterate. Now you just think about an illiterate child. You say, well, how could they receive the Holy Ghost? When I've got, and that's where the problem is. See, I got this education. Amen. Well, that child can't even read. And don't have to, it just have to believe what somebody says. Right. We'd probably all be better off if we didn't have no education. Right? Now, I thought education was killing us anyway, but now we're not throwing away with it, you know, doing away with it. But we need Holy Ghost knowledge. Now, Holy Ghost knowledge, the prophet said, what? That don't mean worldly knowledge. Number 11 on your notes. I'll just pick up sketches as we run down now of some that's underlined, and you on the internet, you got it out there, you read what the prophet said. If you don't, get the statue of a perfect man, because this is basically, it's almost a run-through of it, you know, just to skip every once in a while. But now what did he say? Now that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? All right. But knowledge to judge. Judge what? Right from wrong. Well, that's easy. Well, it's easy to judge right from wrong. Well, why's the devil so much in the end time that he's even sitting in the temple of God? We could go through the scriptures, showing himself to be as God. What? In the revelation of the people's minds. Don't ever think about right and wrong being Jesus compared with Judas, or comparing with some mean person. Try to bring it down where we live at. Right. Knowledge is to know how to judge. Now, how do you judge it then if you got Christian knowledge? Now watch him. How do you judge anything if you got Christian knowledge? What did he say you judge it with? Judge it with your virtue and your faith. Now, is that what he said? Judge it with your virtue and your faith. You judge whether the word is right or wrong. Not earthbound knowledge, not how much you can memorize, not how much you can go to school and learn. And all of that's well and good. But without the Holy Ghost revelation, what good is it? Worldly knowledge are, listen, see, worldly knowledge, we look at that like worldly knowledge, like knowledge of the world. Now, worldly knowledge to me is anything contrary to revelation. When you and I believed in that Trinity, come on, that was worldly knowledge, wasn't it? That's what the world taught. Well, then it would be worldly knowledge. But look how close it is. Because it's at least talking about God. It It's trying to make people good, but it's worldly knowledge. Anything contrary to revelation is worldly knowledge. So now don't just go worldly knowledge as all that old worldly stuff. And we don't want none of that old worldly stuff. You better be concerned about the knowledge that has brought us to the condition we're in. Like I've always told you, the man that finally broke the 4-minute mile was a man that was never supposed to walk, never supposed to run. But you know what? The people probably didn't want to discourage him, so they didn't ever tell him he couldn't do it. You know what? One day he did. You've heard the story of the boy going into school late and two problems written on the board, and he takes them home, stays up all night, works one of them, comes back to school the next day. He didn't know what went on in the schoolroom. And the school teacher put on two problems on the board and said, Einstein couldn't work these two. Well, everybody went home, nobody done nothing. Right? Einstein couldn't do it, we can't do it. The boy come in late, wrote down the problem, went home, stayed up all night working, come back in, told the teacher, said, I couldn't get but one of them. He didn't hear it was impossible. That's our problem. That's what worldly knowledge is. Now you know what he's covering in knowledge. You know that he's covering knowledge to, like, in a very simple matter. Right? Of whether to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's on down through there, so just you on the internet, just keep reading, you'll find it. Very simple thing of whether to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He didn't make knowledge a condition of seals versus maybe a new birth or something. He was making it very simple. And every one of us was caught in that position of following that system. Now it doesn't matter whether you were ever baptized that way or not, you still had that system until you come in this message, so don't worry about that. Alright. Brother Brown said knowledge that God was able to keep everything he said. There's nothing impossible with God. Right? Is that what everybody says? Nothing's impossible, but here's the way we do it. Now he can do it if he wants to. Right? Now come on, is that true? Is that our thinking? Nothing's impossible. Sure, we know God. He can do anything he wants to. He can create a world. He can blow this out of the world. He can just do anything he wants to. But we just don't know whether he wants to or not. Now that's not knowledge. Knowledge is to know that God is able to keep everything that he promised. The prophet said. If he promises you something, hang on to it. It may take 20, 30, 40 years. Don't worry about it. Hang on to it. I want to preach on that token so much now. Because after 30 years he speaks to me. But see, that way you're not trying to figure something out. Brother Branham goes on down to where we're on about number 12 of your, looking at your notes. He says, when you got it like that, add it to your faith. When you got true virtue, add it to your faith. When you can walk out here on the street, live like a Christian, act like a Christian, add it to your faith. Just keep on going. He says, look at the last part of it. Don't say no more about it, see. Leave it alone. But when you can see that the scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that and can see that by the revelation of God, the whole word is wrote in mysteries and only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Now there's no natural knowledge there, is it? And when you get it that and say, punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. knowledge. Holy Ghost knowledge. All right. Now, when God speaks to you about something, and everybody in the world is against you, right? You better know where you're standing. Because if you don't, see, you got a problem. Look what he goes on, number 13 of where you're at, which is page 26. Stature of a perfect man. To judge right. Judge whether it's right or wrong to believe God's word.
Right.
Now, judge whether it's right or wrong to believe God's word. Where do we have any excuse whatsoever to think we don't believe God's word? But like I say, and see, we say, God can do anything he wants to. But I just don't believe he does it today like he used to.
Oh,
now what you've done is you put a limitation upon God. And there's no Holy Ghost knowledge to that.
Right.
Believe for the impossible.
Amen.
Because I guarantee you one thing, God ever speaks to you, you walk alone.
Hallelujah.
When God speaks to you, you'll walk alone.
Come on.
You know why? Because even I don't know what he said to you. Come on, you can come and explain it to me in detail. Minute detail.
Right.
Weeks we could spend together and you discussing to me what the Lord...
Amen.
And I can't see it.
Right.
Until God reveals it to me.
That's right.
That's what I told a man that preached two souls back years ago. I said, brother, I just can't see it.
Right.
I said, well, maybe I'm wrong. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. But I said, maybe I'm wrong. I said, but I just can't see what you're talking about. Well, I wasn't going to be a liar about it and say, well, I believe it, you know. No. And I wasn't going to be sarcastic and arrogant to tell him how far off he was. Just let him go and prove it on himself wrong. Because it wasn't going to help anything. But see, think about it. Whether or not it's right or wrong to believe God's word, judge whether it's right or wrong, whether I should serve a creed or serve God. Judge whether it's right or wrong. I should be born again or join a church. Judge right when the preacher said the days of miracles is past. Judge. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the church, that scripture should hit us right between the eyes. I remember when that struck me and I was reading the Old Testament.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's easy to say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever if you start in the book of Acts and go on.
Right. Amen.
But if you ever see it right, then you'll go back there and read where that it's wrong for a man to wear a garment pertaining to a woman or a woman to wear a garment pertaining to a man. And he's Hebrews 13:8. Well, that's on the Old Testament. We ain't on that no more. No, he's Hebrews 13:8.
Right.
And see, to find Brother Branham saying that that's where Eve messed up at.
Right.
She didn't believe him to be Hebrews 13:8. That's what he said about it.
Right.
I remember when he said that, I thought, oh, Lord, you got to explain something to me. Because he wasn't back there in Hebrews 13:8. But see, Jesus was.
Amen.
Not Jesus the flesh. The Christ was back there.
Amen.
And she didn't believe him to be the same. All right, now go on. Let's see. Brother Branham in 14 there of your notes, 27, stature of a perfect man. He said, we're not building an organization.
Right.
I'm not here this morning to build an organization.
Right.
You remember he had covered back up there whether or not to serve a creed, whether or not to do this or whatever, you know. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse, dwelling place of His Spirit by His Word.
Right.
And that's what He come to do.
Right.
He come to bring us Holy Ghost knowledge.
Right.
to show us that the Word doesn't contradict.
Right.
Now, I don't have to, I'm not bragging, that you don't, bragging doesn't do no good. I've told you about that. When you got an old nag, you got to brag on. You got an old nag, don't worry about it. You can brag on your old horse or dog or something, telling it's the best in the world. It's going to mess you up for long. Don't worry about it. But just tell the truth. If anything in my ministry has been anything since I've been in this message, it's to try to show that Brother Branham isn't contrary one place to the other. If you leave it alone and let it come together by revelation.
Amen.
He didn't say this over here and that over there and you can take either one you want to. He didn't do it. He was bringing a message that would fit together. But it must be given time. Like I said, studying on the token, knowing all the quotes, got it wrote down, had it on the side, exactly what to say. Preached on it many times. Another day he spoke to me and said, right here's where you're missing it. I said, okay, thank you. When I get time, I'll preach on it. 30, 40 years been doing that. We'll get around to it after a while. I know we won't deny it, but patience. I've tried to have patience. And sometimes it gets wore pretty thin.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I admit that because I'm a human being.
Thank you, Jesus.
But now listen. Look at 15 of the notes, page 28. Look at what's just underlined. You read all the rest of it. No private interpretation of said about the Bible. And the only way you'll ever be able to have them is to have heaven-born knowledge.
Right.
And heaven-born knowledge will vindicate the Word.
Amen.
There's heaven-born knowledge, because that's what we got to have, not human knowledge, not wisdom. I would to God that I had revealed to me in my soul what has been made known to my head.
Right.
But I know that that's not there just because that I read it. That's why I don't preach like everybody else does, and you know that. I don't come here and preach until I got something. Something I'm trying to get to you.
Amen.
Not just some, oh, we'll just do this. Even in this series of just taking what people say and bring it up, I'm taking it higher, taking it higher. You go back to the Statue of a Perfect Man that I preached back a year or two, two or three years ago, I don't know how long. Then I preached on it, done a series on it. But you go back and listen there and listen to what I'm saying now. I'm trying to hit spots that'll make that appear into our revelation instead of just being a head knowledge.
Amen.
All right. Now watch. Look what he says down there on page number 16. The Word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible said so. Christ being revealed in His Word. And if He's watched over you, then watch. Now listen to this statement. Now you know God corrects us, right? You agree God corrects us. All right, now watch what He's saying. And if He's watched over you, when you transgress these laws, He condemns you for it. How much more has He watched over His law that condemns you? Now watch Him. Sounds odd, but watch. Amen. Don't tell me that stuff. I believe in genuine Holy Ghost knowledge. Holy Ghost knowledge will always punctuate the Word with an amen. In other words, if He's watched over you to condemn you, how much more has He watched over His Word?
Right?
The Word, that Word is what's going to take it.
Right.
When you get these things that seem to be seem to contradict themselves in the Bible, you sit down and you study it. And prayerfully like that, and the first thing you know, the Holy Spirit begins to move in. After a while, you see it ties together. And there you got it, see? That's knowledge. But now listen. The prophet was able to come up the stature of a perfect man because he was a prophet. All right. See, that way had been lost through the ages of the growth development of a stature of a perfect man. Some people were up here, the prophet said, and some here maybe just moving up and down, you know, they But they couldn't bring it to the position. Why? Because there wasn't prophets. But he was a prophet that God could bring him up. But listen, when he brought him up, he brought him up without the headstone being revealed in his time. He brought him up by the cornerstone.
Right.
The faith of the fathers. That's how God brought him up. See, then he's telling you things here that when he gets into the seals, he talks about that message that was revealed of getting into the kingdom. He's talking about the stature of a perfect man. He was writing what he was saying, but yet he had to wait because the rest had not been made known. So then you can't say that he come into the world with all knowledge, as some people believe. Some people believe that he come into the world with all knowledge. I just don't see that. That would be contrary to even Jesus growing in grace and knowledge. All right. But now listen. Holy Ghost knowledge, to know the Word, don't contradict. To know what God said is right. But we must have a revelation for it to be heavenly born knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. Right? But see, Holy Ghost knowledge don't puff you up. Holy Ghost knowledge takes you down.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, let's get on to this temperance just a minute, and then we'll, because I've done said most of what we'll say on it, but everybody understand what I'm talking about?
Amen.
You add
right.
to your faith.
Right.
And it says add to your faith knowledge. Now that's when God supplies it and you take it as to being yours.
Right.
He supplies it, but we must take it as being ours and let Him place it there. Now, I wish to God I could get back. One night I was riding over to Dawsonville to hear a brother preach, and I was by myself, and for some reason Peggy couldn't go that night, and I was going to hear a brother over, Brother Ben Howard's preaching. And I was thinking on this stature of perfect man. And as I went through there, I saw how each one tied together and what brought it to pass. I wish I could bring that back. Maybe one of these days the Holy Ghost will pick it up and, you know, and do it. But I saw how that each thing, see. Now listen, don't try to, and how do you say it? There's no need of trying to work and worry about what virtue is until we have faith. So the main things get born again. There's no need to worry about what knowledge is. Now you get knowledge with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Now come on. See, so you get a portion of these things by receiving a new birth. Yeah. Because you receive a certain amount of strength. You receive a certain amount of knowledge. A certain amount of temperance, patience, etc., comes by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that's not what Peter is saying. See? He's not saying you already got these things. He's saying they must be added.
Amen.
Huh? You say, well, see, that's where people say, I got the Holy Ghost, I got all these virtues. Yeah. You better go back and study what the prophet is saying. He said, Branham Tabernacle, this is where our problem is. He said, you Pentecostal people, this is where your trouble is. All right. But you see, to think we are so far up the road is one way, but to think that we're not on the road is another way. Either one of them can hinder you, so let's just go with God and let Him just take care of these things. All right. Now we'll go on. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. Now you come up this far. You've done added virtue. Have knowledge added to you. then you're required to have temperance. All right? So there must be something about temperance that we can still have a little problem with temper, if that's what temperance means. But let's don't blame it all. I never have blamed the devil for everything I've done. That old devil. No, that old me. Don't blame the devil about everything. You got to submit yourself to him before he can do anything with you. Which we say, oh, that old devil, that's just that old devil. Well, see, when we receive the new birth, we should be Christians. We should have a portion of these things, but not in manifestation. Now, back to what I was saying a moment ago. The virtues come into the soul, but they display back through your spirit into your body. That's the temple. That's putting the temple, as we read in Corinthians, as being two part, or any way you want to say it. First, as being the spiritual man of the inward part of the soul. And the second one is to be that we are the temple out here, our bodies. We don't just go out and do things just any kind of wrong, and we're concerned about our bodies. We try to bring our bodies under subjection. But don't try to have temperance until you got knowledge. We'll get on over to godliness. Brother Brown said, you come all this way before God says you be perfect. That's what he says. Well, Brother Dale, when I got born again, I was perfect. Amen. Perfect baby. Is that all right? Perfect baby. Not a perfect adult, but a perfect baby. Yeah. All right. That's why when you get on over in there, you know about, and it finally talks about the Antichrist being the man of sin. See, it first starts off as a child. The Antichrist starts off as a child and the children of disobedience. But then it comes up to an adult to say the man. See? So if that grows, surely we're to know we do. All right, but look what your prophet said. He said, now we come to temperance. You've had faith. You have to have that to begin with. Number 17 on your notes. Then you add virtue to your faith. If it's right. If it's the right kind of virtue. Then you add knowledge. Listen. If it's the right kind of knowledge. Now you're going to add temperance. Now what's he saying? If it's the right kind of knowledge. So it has to be Holy Ghost knowledge. All right. Now, so what are we doing? Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. No. Temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure. Not in this case. This is Bible temperance. Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh. But we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue. Now, I underlined that, if you notice, circled it. Because most of our thoughts about temperance is how to control your temper. Now, is that right? Is most of our thoughts on temperance how to control our temper? Now, he said it's how to control your tongue. Not be a tattler. How to control your temper. Not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh, my brother. A lot of us are going to fall off before we get started. Aren't we? We? Us? We. Then we wonder why God's not in his church doing miracles and things that he used to do. Now, what about a man saying that that almost on a daily basis, the sick was being healed, the dead was being raised, miracles was transpiring on every form. No telling how many took place during the preaching of this message. And look what he says. Ah, Brother Brandon was just doing that to make us feel good. No. The way he said it made me feel bad. You know why? Because if he's seen all of them things, and all that was transpiring, and he's still that humble, where's you and I? What about the signs and wonders? Yes, sir. See, add these things. Add temperance to it. Temperance. What is he saying now? How to answer in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. Somebody say, you bunch of holy rollers down there. Don't jump up and roll up your sleeves. No. Not that. But talk with godly love. Temperance, kindness. Is that the way you want to be? When you're riled upon, rile not back. Let him be your example. Now what does he go on talking about? Don't fuss and stew and argue with people. Now Brother Branham would turn around and talk about these things, and you go through the message and you'll see him, especially on patience. And he said Moses had patience. But yet we read, that's what I said now, see, we de-Christianize. Yet we read that Moses had a temper. We read that he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. We read that he got all upset a lot of times. But yet God, speaking about him through the prophet, doesn't mention those things. But right during the time that we would think he's doing all these wrong things, the prophet's talking about how did he have temperance or patience or something. See, we can go too far one way, we can go too far the other way. Just settle down, take it like it is, and let it go. And then work on trying to move forward through the revealed word. That's why. If it wasn't for that, I mean, why preach? Yeah. I'll just say this part and we'll get back on temperance, but it's be on patience. Yeah. Having patience with people. When you know they don't want to hear you. I come out here sometimes and preach and think, who wants to hear me? You say, Brother Dale, we do. But you see, I'm human. And I get upset. I get upset about, I have problems with my temper. You say, you have a temper? Yes, sir. And I try my best to keep it under control so that you don't find out about it. Why? Because what good would it do? It wouldn't matter to me, because it wouldn't matter to me if you de-Christianize me. That's not going to change me and God. I answer to him. That's one thing I do. I answer to God. I don't answer to you. I don't answer to anybody. I answer to God. That's why that when I make up my mind to do what I do it. Because I've got to. Because I got to live with my decision. You don't have to. I have to live with my decision, and I have to decide what to do. See, right or wrong, whether that's what you think about me, whatever. But see, but there's one thing you know for sure that I don't have is a tattling tongue. Now that's what he brought temperance down to, be a tattling tongue. So now we think, and come on, some of you amen there a minute ago, most of your thoughts on temperance is how to control your temper. Never thinking about tattling tongue. What causes the tongue to tattle? I don't know where that's the right way to say it or not, but what causes that tongue, his sister, Who was it, Sister? No. McGarity used to say that thing that run between them two wet walls. You know, that loose thing. You know. And the Bible says a lot about these things. Now, I've got it written in the back of my Statue of a Perfect Man that maybe I'll try this weekend to write down the things where the Bible shows you taught knowledge and temperance and virtues and things, you know, and bring it to you, because I had it in the back of there for many years. But now listen. Somebody say something about you and then you get all upset. That's all we see about temper. But now, I'm going to make this statement and let's see if it's right. Most of the time, the reason you run your tongue and you do a lot of tattling is because you got upset. Is that right? Got a few nods and a couple of rights. You get upset. Now, I'm sorry if it hits you, if it hits me, I have to answer first. But there's one thing you can't accuse me of is that. I bear a lot of burdens around here that you don't know anything about. Brother Woodby come down one time. He was going to preach for us years ago. He walked in my house and he turned around. He said, Brother Dale, if I didn't give you my promise, I'd go home right now. He said, there's a burden on you that no man can bear. I said, well, God's help, I will. But see, you think about temperance. It's just controlling your temper. But you ever think about what causes the temper to raise up? Somebody differs with you or something. Somebody fusses with you about something. It raises up, doesn't it? Come on, we're all human. Let me quote Brother Branham. That's what people don't like if you quote him as a human being. When that man come down there and was talking about he ain't nothing but an antichrist, I think it's in the Statue of Perfect Man, I'm not even sure. But he said, now you got to hold it. Said he just picked on me. He said, there's a whole lot of us. And he picked on. He said, I wanted it so bad I couldn't stand it. Now what was he saying? Do you have to analyze that statement to understand what he said? He wanted to say something back to the man, right? You say, that was just the Holy Ghost in him. Well, that's all right. That's all right. I ain't that. That's why I don't fuss with nobody. And I sure don't tattle. Because you know yourself. People get on to me because I don't even talk on the telephone. I says, you call me and I talk to you just a minute, or I call you, I talk to you a minute, and then I'm done. And I just don't believe in that. Because tattling tales just makes it worse. It brings it to a place to where that if you're not careful, you'll get a temper. And you get upset. Especially if somebody says something to your family about your wife, your husband, your children, or something. We're all human. Right, Sister Gail? She's grinning. So. Sometimes it's hard to swallow, isn't it? You want to tell them, what's the first thing you do when somebody tells you something or gets on to you? The old brain starts working about what they've done, and the old mouth starts running about that. Well, you're just as guilty as I am. You say, well, maybe that's what we need. But you see, what causes you to have a temperance? I'm trying to define something, all right? We're not supposed to have an uncontrollable temper as a Christian. Right? We're not supposed to have that as a Christian, as a baby, because a baby is forgiving and loving. And but then when it gets on up a little bit further, see, we want to say, oh, I got rid of that. No, no. When somebody says something to you and you rile back. You want to fuss and argue. What good has it ever done? You see what he's talking about? Temperance. It's not drinking alcohol. Sure, we know that. It's not drinking alcohol. But we just thought it was just your temper controlling. Well, go on and read in there the whole message on temperance. And see if he's not talking about blowing up, sizing off. He said you can't add that because it won't work. Right? 18 on your note. It won't vulcanize. And he explains the vulcanizing of an old patch, and some of you younger generation don't even know what in the world we're talking about because you don't use stuff like that. But we used to be in the day when you had a flat tire, you'd had a little old patch thing, the kit that you put it on there, and all you could do was just put glue on it and rub it around, and you know, and if it stuck, you was lucky. You know, if it didn't, you put a bigger patch, and you'd have a flat tire, and the first time it got hot and run down the road, it just pulled loose. Then they came up with this contraption to where that you put it in this little vise-like thing, and you put this thing on there, and you kind of pull it down tight, and then it had material on the top of the thing, and all. And what you done, you struck a match to that, and you set that on fire. And that was designed to heat up just enough to make that stick. Well, man, you just didn't have no more flats in. You know, unless you got it too hot. If you did, it'd come unstuck. But it was a whole lot better. You're in the day when you don't even know what a flat tire is. That's the way most of the kids. I was laughing the other day in a cartoon in the paper where that this man was explaining something, and he was talking about a telephone booth that Superman got into and, you know, and changed clothes. How many read that? It was in the paper the other day. And the little kid finally said, "What's a telephone booth?" You know, I mean, he didn't know what a telephone booth was. But listen, to talk about vulcanizes is the same thing that I was trying to bring out on the message just recently of how that you mix it, you temper it. You cement it together, see? You fix it and all like that. And he said if it's the right kind, it'll stick. If it's the right kind, it'll work on us. He said, "Well, Brother Dale, you said you have a problem with that." Yeah. I'm a human. I need more patience. I need more temperance. Yes. As your pastor, I say that. I need it. Why? Because I let things bother me. But 99.9% is all on spiritual matters. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. 99. My wife's sitting there. I have problems. She knows it. To her, I speak when I shouldn't. But 99.9% of it is about the message. I can see why Moses would get so upset with those people that he throw those stones down. But yet he turned right back around and say, "If you're going to kill them, Lord, you've got to kill me." The prophets say, "See, there he's got temperance, he's got patience." You see, because it's the hour we're living. And my nature is not to try to order you or in any form like that. That is not my natural nature. An Aries is not made that way. I was talking to a man that's putting in a well pump for me today there at home, and we were talking about difference in people and all. And he said, "Yes," said, "you go up north." And he said, "them people will just turn around there and just flat cuss you out." And he said, "That's 9 o'clock. And he said, 11 o'clock, they come around, "Hey, buddy, you ready to go eat dinner?" He said, "They done forgot all about it. It didn't mean nothing to them." But said, "You all tore up about it." Because we're southern people, we're not used to that way. But you see, church, we need more temperance of controlling our tongue. Because that's the most wicked part of our body. Is the sharpness of our tongue. And then to turn around and say, "Well, I had a right to do that." I've always told you that when you feel condemned, you better get rid of it, because 30 minutes later, you're not going to be condemned like you was. An hour later, you're going to have the other person doing wrong instead of you. Temperance. Holy Ghost temperance. We'll just quit on that because we can't go any further. We'll get on patience Sunday. And I hope you see what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about a patience. I mean a temperance of an uncontrollable temper, because we shouldn't have that. As a babe in Christ, we shouldn't have that. But yet we can have problems. As a human mortal, we have troubles. Brother Branham, as a human mortal, he had troubles. He had problems. He was a human. The Lord Jesus had problems. He was a human. He took a whip and drove him out of the temple. You say, well, what he needs is he needs to get rid of that temper. You know, that's one thing I'm glad the prophet explained, but let's make sure that it's not explained wrong. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. That's what it says. You know why? Because God knew he was going to be angry. Oh, us Christians? No. You know, yeah, that must have been who he's talking to, because that's who he's writing to. Said, be angry and sin not. Said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You get rid of it before the sun goes down, everything works better. You keep it till the next day, you're not as guilty as you think you are. Right? Because you're going to justify yourself. Brother Brown said Jesus got angry. Now, here's the difference. Anger to us goes into one category. Mad goes into that category. But you can't do that in Bible terms. Jesus never got mad. Because that's going into insanity. But he got angry when he seen them, what they were doing. And he plaited a rope and run them out. He said, well, I don't think he got angry. Well, he done what he done, and the prophet said he got angry, so you go ahead. But now, not an uncontrollable temper. His anger was over them breaking the word. Right? Not over what they were doing as human mortals. It's not recorded that the prostitutes running down the streets and the things he saw in the situation made him angry. Right? It was when they were going wrong in the temple. So his anger was not even degreed in no way like our anger, I don't believe. See, that's the way I'm trying to explain something. And then people say, well, you know, I still think he... No. I don't think he got mad. It's like I've always said. I know Zachary, he differs with me, but I've always said it. You never seen me mad. You've seen me angry, say things I shouldn't say, but not mad. Zach thinks because I spanked his bottom just a little bit because of him, wouldn't get off my ladder, kept in my way, that I was mad at him. No. And I never hit him hard enough to hurt a good feather. You know, he knows that. But he sure thought it when he cried for about an hour or so, because he'd never seen Pawpaw get to where that he spanked him because he was doing something. But you see, I know the difference between mad and anger. And you can have righteous indignation, you call it. You know, that my righteous indignation got stirred up. Well, it better be over the word. Now, here's one thing, and I'll close it with this, because I'll tell you right where I'm at. The thing that makes me more temper problem of any form is over the people not wanting to hear the word. You know, that because It's just expected of us as Christians that we're supposed to want to hear the word. That's not a necessity. That's a fact. It ain't something we've got to do. But that makes me more upset than anything in the world. Is to get to the basis that try to help people. And then see them, as Brother Brown said, you hold it over their, hold your hand over their mouth and they just spit it right back out. It's the word that's going to change you and I. It's the word that's going to bring these things into us. Right. The revealed word. Come on, Brother Boy. The revealed word. Not head knowledge. A true revelation. You know what keeps me preaching? Because he keeps revealing. You know when I have my most troubles? Is when the Lord's not revealing to me. I have no problem if he's revealing it to me. But you know, I've told you over and over, when I start a series of 50 sermons or something, and it's very, and it's, a lot of times it's true, right? There's no problem. When I'm in the middle of 50 sermons, there's no problem. But when I get to my sermon 49 and I know number 50 is coming, I have problems. Because I'm wanting to see people get it. And it makes me, I'm not nervous. Never been that way. My nerves is inside. My crying is inside. You know, to do all you can try to do to help people. And then, let's see, Brother Random said, how do you do that, Brother Random? How do you stay with him? He said, patience. No one listen to what he says. We'll get to it later. I gave you the quotes in there. Please bring these back. We won't have to reprint. But he said, Brother Brown, how can you put up with it and go with them people? He said, patience. Knowing that's in their heart. Temperance. Knowledge. But one more time, don't make it so big that you can't attain, but don't make it so easy that you just fall into it. Make it the revealed word. Listen. 109 in the red book. Anybody has a need, the altar's open. Christ, my King, Victor, just let it spread. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Stand. 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 Anybody have a need? Just come and let's believe. Amen. Amen. I like that. Standing on the promises, can see perfect presence, cleansing in the blood. Oh. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Stand. Anybody else?
Standing on the promises of Christ, not see, and sing every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all. In all I standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Father, we thank you for tonight and your love and your grace unto us. We pray that you would just come down and see what our desires are, and that you'll work according to our desires to make us what you want us to be. Forgive our sins and lead us, Lord, by thine understanding, and let the light of your love be with each heart and life in each one of us, that we commit it to you, Father, and knowing you'll work everything according to your heaven-born knowledge, because that's what we need. Lead us now and forgive us. Be with the people on the way home. Take care of everybody and keep us in Jesus' name.